This week we've been part of a national examination of the impact of 9/11 20 years on. I was asked to reflect on the day itself, only our second as a national program.
It has been a horrific day of national tragedy. Here is what we know. Both World Trade Center towers in New York City were destroyed this morning after being struck by airplanes, one of them hijacked out of Boston.
Another plane has crashed into the Pentagon. It took a direct hit. And a 757 has crashed 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh. All federal office buildings in
Washington. My colleague Bruce Gellerman and I would find out later that there were actually two planes from Boston where we were based. They both crashed into the World Trade Towers in New York. Another plane left from Dulles in Virginia hit the Pentagon. A fourth from Newark, New Jersey, was forced down by passengers in a field in Pennsylvania. All that morning, we just pulled in the sound of voices trying to describe to us the impossible. We just thought we'd let you hear what it sounded like, and it can be tough.
And now both of those twin towers are smoking. They are on fire. Large holes visible in the side of the 110-story building, landmark Twin Towers. The tops of the Twin Towers were obscured by smoke.
We have learned also that the president is going to speak.
The FBI is now pursuing reports that one or both of those planes were hijacked.
Two airplanes have crashed into the World Trade Center in an apparent terrorist attack on our country.
I looked out my window, which is directly across from Pentagon and Pentagon Row apartments, and I saw the tail of a large airliner. It plowed right into the Pentagon.
I've never seen anything like it in my life. The tower just collapsed moments ago. I'm on the phone here at a gas station, and as I was on hold waiting to get on the line here, people started screaming, "Oh my God! Oh my God!"
It fell like a deck of cards. It fell straight down. It came from the top all the way down. It just simply pancaked.
That was at around 10 o'clock in the morning. Guests were in Studio 2 here at WBUR for the program The Connection. Michael Goldfarb was hosting. It was almost 10:30.
Could you talk a bit about the kinds of skills that terrorist groups actually have? As I watch, we do have a television in the studio. The second tower of the World Trade Center has just collapsed.
Oh, God.
The skyline of Lower Manhattan is irrevocably altered. A plume of smoke. My guests and I can only tell you listeners, are shocked. The tower has come down. The World Trade Center's twin towers no longer exist.
The Twin Towers are down, the Pentagon still burning.
There have been evacuations of the West Wing of the White House. The Capitol building has been evacuated.
Evacuations now ordered at the United Nations in New York and at the Sears Tower in Chicago. Los Angeles has mobilized its anti-terrorism division.
We have to report now that United Airlines is just reporting that a second plane has crashed, a second United Airlines plane. A United Airlines flight also crashed in the D.C. area. We're now hearing reports from United Airlines that a second plane of theirs has crashed.
Now we're being told United Airlines has lost a plane near Pittsburgh. It's a large plane believed to be a Boeing 747. It has crashed about 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh.
It crashed into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, after passengers commandeered a drink cart and stormed the cabin. And that was that. Over time, we'd hear about so many heroic acts that day. There was Michael Benfante, who carried a woman in a wheelchair down 68 flights in the North Tower. He put her in an ambulance. The tower began to collapse. He ran, thinking of the firefighters he just passed.
And these are some of the things that also haunt you. You saw the firemen going the other way.
Right. Probably 75 to 100. I don't know. Could have been more. Could have been a little less. And they were exhausted. They were carrying tools and hoses and they were going up as everybody was going down, and all they kept saying, they were just relaying our fears, just saying, everything's going to be okay. Just keep moving. Everything's fine. And you could tell what their lips were saying. Their eyes weren't telling the same story. But they, I mean, come on. To me, you can't call me a hero. Not when you think of them.
So many stories. We decided to bring you just one. When Jim Gartenberg was trapped in the towers, he called into a local TV station and reported until the tower collapsed. He and his wife Jill had a 2-year-old, Nicole. Jill was pregnant with the child she'd named Jamie after Jim died. We visited her months later in her New York apartment, and we start with his phone calls. They are tough to hear.
On the phone, we have an eyewitness, is that correct?
Yeah, Jim Gartenberg joins us. He was on the 86th floor of, I'm not sure which tower, was it the east, north or south, Jim?
It's the World Trade Center 1, and it's not was. I am here, and I'm stuck right now.
Now, are you above?
My husband's name was James Michael Gartenberg. He went by Jim Gartenberg, and he was on the 86th floor of 1 World Trade Center.
A fire door has trapped us. Debris has fallen around us, and part of the core of the building is blown out.
Jim,
actually, a friend of mine had called me on my cell phone and said, Jill, I just heard Jim on TV, and he sounds great, and he's going to be okay. And I said, he's not going to be okay. I knew he wasn't going to be okay. I knew that he sounded calm and in control because that's just always how he sounded. But I knew what was going on in there, and I had walked out of my office to look downtown, miles downtown, when I saw the smoke and the fire that was coming from those buildings. I couldn't imagine anybody was going to survive that, even if the building didn't collapse, which, of course, then, so.
After Jim died and the tower collapsed, Jill became one of 100 widows expecting a child. In 2002, she was raising 3-year-old Nicole and 6-month-old Jamie, who was born half a year after her father's death.
She's named after my husband, who's James, and right after your daddy, in his honor. Okay, sweetie, I'll get it.
The ice cream, let's go. Get the ice cream.
Okay, you know what? Let's leave it like this. What's this?
Do you know what we call these little things where we're from? These little things, you know what we call them? We call them Jimmies.
Who's Jimmy? Our daddy? Is that your daddy? She's too busy eating.
He's still my daddy.
He's still your daddy. That's right. He'll always be your daddy.
Well, and you have that 24 hours a day.
Yes. Every day we talk about daddy and we watch videos about daddy, right?
Yeah. Nicole loves to watch our wedding video.
Mommy and daddy.
You want to watch it now? The mommy and daddy video with you in it?
Yeah.
Okay. Daddy.
I had been initially in my office when I got his initial phone call and phone message.
Tuesday, 8:48 a.m.
Jill, there's a fire on my floor. I love you. Tell everyone I love you. I don't know if I'm going to be okay here. I love you so much.
Your husband sounded so frightened in the message to you. And then he became so strong for other families on television.
Absolutely. He, you know what? Even in his last moments, that was typical of what my husband represented. He just cared about others. What he said on the local news station was, if anyone has a loved one in the building, please don't be concerned. Things are under control at the moment. You know, in his last moments of life, to say that and to be concerned about others, that was just typical of my husband.
What did you and he get to say to each other that you can...
How much we loved each other, and how much he loves my daughter. You know, what do you say? What is there to say? I spoke to him 5 or 6 times. What else is there to say when I know he's not coming back home? And thank you, sweetie. Nicole brought me a tissue. This is where we started a home together. Life has to go on.
Hi, it's Daddy.
Oh, it's Daddy?
On a toy phone.
Yeah, she does that all the time.
Hi, Mom.
It's her way of talking to him.
Daddy, hi, Daddy.
Yeah. I'm looking at these letters. This man writes, so calm, so reassuring. I heard him speak of where he was, trapped. I was wondering, could I be half as brave as he was? He left quite an impression.
Mm-hmm. That's right, he did. Nicole, sweetie, you know what? Let's get into pajamas now.
Little Nicole is now in her early 20s, her sister Jamie, just 20. Jill Gartenberg remarried, And on this 20th anniversary of 9/11, she told us she's trying to take care of herself. You know, take it easy.
I'm on the 86th floor on the east side of the building facing the East River.
And what time
did
you get?
If I'm on the air, I want to tell anybody that has a family member that may be in the building that the situation is under control for the moment and the danger has not increased. So please, all family members, take it easy.
Jim, one of our producers.
The voice of Jim Gartenberg speaking from the doomed World Trade Center towers on 9/11. By the way, he was scheduled to move the next day to a Midtown office. He died in the tower collapse. We visited his widow, now Jill Gartenberg Pila.